We are on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom, also known as Bright Lights Pathfinders. We will have a guest this evening with Pete Burchella. He is with Jackalope 105 FM program. He'll be here in just a minute. Hello, I'm back on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom. Please forgive me for the delay. Skype is having issues this evening. Pete, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Hey, Pete. Would you? I'm sorry about the delay. This is it doesn't happen this way.
That's all right.
But
yeah, anything internet-wise will screw up. That's a given.
Yeah, that's true. Why don't you give the active listening audience and the archived audience a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm known as 46th Street Pete. I am, quote, a grindhouse film historian. I spent most of my formative years in the old grindhouses and rundown theaters of 42nd Street, New York, and the inner cities of New Jersey. So I've basically seen every major and minor release from about the 50s up until the late 80s on the big screen where you're supposed to see it. So I have acquired an arcane knowledge of all these films, and I parlayed it into this character, 42nd Street Pete, which I consider a living, breathing embodiment of the 70s and everything that went with it, good, the bad, the ugly, everything like that.
I'm a 70s girl. Yay! I'm a 70s flower child girl myself. Lady.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Your accent's very intriguing. Tell them a little bit about what's been happening with your station and what do you do on your radio station? You're with Jackalope 105 FM?
Yeah, I'm with Jackalope 105 FM. It's a brainchild of a friend of mine, Todd Sheets, who used to direct low-budget movies, and he has a very widely listened-to show about the paranormal called Night Watch. And he had become friends with me over the Internet, and he talked me into doing this thing. And originally, it was actually structured. We actually had a format. Then it just became this bizarre extension of my personality. So, you know, sometimes we talk about film. Sometimes we talk about politics. We've had guests on, like we've had Georgina Spethen on, Sid Haig, Gary Kent, Ted B. Michaels, all these, you know, genre people from the 70s and stuff. We've also supported WSU Wrestling. It's a women's wrestling organization where they actually wrestle instead of, you know, the crap that goes on TV now. We've had them on all the time promoting their shows. So what happened last couple weeks, the thing that Kathy's referring to, is a lot of us do these horror conventions like, you know, Chiller Theater, Monster Mania, Cinema Wasteland, Days of the Dead, Horror Hound. And there's a lot of, seems, infighting between these groups as, you know, if you do my show, you can't do anybody else's show. If you do that show, you can't do my show. You know, ridiculous, you know, high school stuff. So I tried to get a bunch of these people together and, you know, let's hash this out. And one, you know, group agreed to come on. The other group didn't agree because they felt, and I quote, why should the fans know what's going on? And I said, well, because the fans never know what's going on because you guys, you know, spew your bile all over the Internet on blogs and, you know, message boards and things. So, you know, they know. So what happened was the three gentlemen came on. We had a four-way discussion, basically what we felt was wrong with the industry, you know, the good points, the bad points. We didn't name any names. We didn't out anybody. We didn't throw anybody under the bus. And I have a witness to this, my producer, who is impartial, Todd. So it was. We had pre-taped this on a Thursday. It was going to air that Saturday. My friends, who were the promoters of Cinema Wasteland, live up the street. We were having a barbecue, and I had just come back up here to pick up a reel of film that we wanted to test screen so we could see if it was worth, you know, projecting at the show in October. And I get an email from Todd that, call me, it's important. And I say, did I miss something? He goes, yeah, we got hacked. The whole network got crashed. So obviously someone didn't want us to talk about what we wanted to talk about. And obviously someone felt very threatened. So
as well, this evening, even though it was no one's fault, it was like the energy's doing it, you know? You think about it.
So in my own...
together, and I'm just saying, you've got a major story to put out, and I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
No, so in my own inimitable way, I was like poking and prodding the bees' nests in hope that, you know, some would ferret it out. And I, you know, was on a few message boards, and right away, you know, everybody was waiting for me to point the finger. And I didn't, because I really didn't know. There was like five or six, you know, usual suspects. But, you know, I'm not going to out and out accuse anybody of anything. So what happened was, unbeknownst to these internet boobs, I was actually talking on the phone, like, you know, a normal human being to a couple of these guys, and, you know, seeing what was going on. But we also had someone else who had a show at the station who I also felt might have been doing something, so I shook his tree, and basically he went completely bombats and went back on me, and then someone defended me, and it happened to be a friend of mine who was a woman, and he went off on her, and I found out about it, and I said, you know, what's your problem? Do you really need, like, a guy who's going to be 60 years old to have to come kick your ass because you won't shut your mouth? You keep running your mouth? So then I got, oh, you can't, there's no way you could do anything with me. I'm an ex-military. I'm 6'2". I'm buff. I lift weights, blah, 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 blah. Who cares? The bottom line is, you called a woman friend of mine the C word, and that's completely unacceptable. So I called my producer, and I says, dude, if this guy ain't gone, I am. I said, you can put him in my slot. I don't care, because nobody on our network likes the guy. He's a self-serving poser. He's a little bitch, and he's trying to worm his way into the industry. And basically, he's one of these guys that I'll do anything for nothing just to get my foot in the door, and you will get your foot in the door, my friend, and you will continue to do everything for nothing, because that's what's wrong with the industry. Guys like you that want to go in and get your foot in the door, so to speak, but you'll work for nothing, so you already proved you're worth nothing, nobody's going to pay you. So that's another whole story. But anyway, in the interim, the host of this other radio show called Dead Pit Radio emails me with, I understand my name has come up, and I assure you I wouldn't, you know, do anything like that, bop, 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 bop. The next morning, I get an email that he went on the air and basically admitted he did it, and this and that and the other thing, and I'm an elderly piece of you-know-what, this and that. Okay, like, okay, you just admitted to what basically comes down to a federal crime. So, honestly, I don't think you did it, but I also think you're a stupid, fat waste of life that lives in your mommy's basement collecting food stamps, and this is your whole deal, this radio show, because you have a huge ego to go with your huge body. So that broadcast that I did Saturday night pretty much verbally raped him and put him in his place without mentioning his name, because now he's threatening legal action against me for slander or something like that. I'm like, dude, you're all over the place. We got the screen grabs of everything you did, and my producer is handing them over to his lawyer. So you threatening to sue me for slander is a moot point when we actually have an attorney, and you probably don't. You're bluffing. So that all comes full circle, and I think the backstory Cappy was looking for was, in the midst of all this nonsense, and this was going to be a live show Saturday night, Friday night I fractured a tooth and couldn't close my mouth. And I don't know what was up, and my regular dentist was unavailable. I tried to contact him, so I wound up going to one of these wonderful clinics where I basically had a root canal without anesthesia. And for every little ounce of pain that went through my body, I just thought of these boobs that I had to take care of Saturday night. And, yeah, the language is raw, which is part of my charm, but I got my point across. I lost a few friends getting my point across because they felt I'm too full of anger and stuff like that. But I says, you're saying I'm full of anger. I'm the one who was attacked. I'm defending myself. I didn't ask for this. If that show existed anywhere in the universe, anybody who heard it would just hear what we did. It was a civil discussion about what's wrong with the business. And like I said, someone didn't want that to be heard, which I find sad, because it's just an indictment of our culture today where you can't critique or criticize anybody without them going completely through the wall and becoming defensive. It's ridiculous.
You also had another incident with...
So, that's about it in a nutshell, the condensed version. Like I said, you can go to jackalope105fm.com, click on 42nd Street Pete's Grindhouse, the archives, and scroll all the way to the bottom, and that'll be the last show is there, you know, like I said, not for the faint of heart. Cappy heard it last night, so.
I'm going to tell you, the reason that it touched me so deep is because you were raw, you were real, you said, everything out front and open instead of holding it in for a long period of time, which could have gotten even worse. You put people in their place with basically saying, you know, we're all a piece of, you know, part of this world. And I felt very rawly broken and entered is what it felt like, because it really, that's what it was. They broke and entered into your personhood and into your livelihood, which is your radio station and others' radio station. And I just, you know, I liked, even though it was some strong language, it hit home with me. You taught me a lot, because I had been so, you know, just turning the other cheek, constantly with so many things. You taught me assertiveness and to stand up for myself in an assertive manner. And that is another thing going through that, too, the root canal. You know, it just is amazing how you withstood all that pain. You're a lot like I am. You said on the radio day program last Saturday that I don't take pain with anything either. I just tolerate it and do it, you know, because it is what it is. It's mind over matter. And to be honest with you, Pete, I really admire you for standing firm like you did and taking up for the entire company that you work for, let alone, you know, you didn't say any names, you didn't name any names, you just said how it felt and how you felt about the person that has to do such a thing as to hack into other people's work, hack into their computers, use things for their own self-benefit or either as a joke, but it's not funny. And, you know, that was a good message to me, and I appreciate you coming home tonight. And I'm really sorry that we had such a dilemma even getting you on the station, but Skype, there's something wrong with my Skype. That's why I had to delete it and add a new name. So thank you for being so patient.
Yeah, well, we don't know how long my battery's going to last. We'll keep it going. So yeah, the other thing is, too, is that isn't like a job. I don't get paid for that whole radio show. We put this together like 3 years ago. It wound up that I became the anchor station, anchor show for Saturday night. And, you know, we're not getting any sponsorship. Nobody's making any money off this. Like I said, I had a friend of mine, Gary Kent, who's an actor and a stuntman on, who's retired, and he had a book out called Shadows and Light, Revolutionary Filmmaking in the 70s. And I got him on, and, you know, he did a little interview with me, and he's been back since. But he'll tell you he sold a bunch of books because he was on the show. So it does work as a promotional tool. But mainly the reason I do it is for the love of the genre, to keep the genre going, where so many people forget about, you know, some of the older and actors and directors and only concentrate on what's now. What they don't seem to grasp is everything now is predicated on what was then. So it's like I equate it to, you know, I do, you know, I don't make any bones about it. I do a lot of work with, you know, restoring old adults only things and stuff like that. And people say, well, why is that important? I says, well, whether you love it, you hate it, or you're indifferent to it, it is the great-great-grandfather of what's going on today. All this stuff is. It all started as a strip of film. Now it's a DVD or a digital tape or something like that. But, you know, the basic thing was it all started as a strip of film, and that's what we're trying to preserve. You know, the memories of how these films were seen, how they were shown originally, how much was cut out of them for whatever reasons, running time or, you know, censorship or whatever. So we try to keep it alive, and, you know, and then, like I say, I go off on my tangents too sometimes, you know, with things like, you know, Saturday night. So,
well, you think of it as, I misused the word job, because I think of, well, a calling. You know, I don't get paid for what I do either, but I put my effort, it's 120% out there, and that's what I felt with you. I appreciate your authenticness and wanting to preserve the authenticness, because a lot of people like to tap in and take a little piece of this and that and make it into their own. And it also, with, you know, getting the internet hacked like you did your radio station, that just goes to show you it's hard to keep a level like you did. And, you know, it was strong, and I would appreciate everybody should go listen to Star Top. I'm telling you, it'll put some new hair on people's skin to, you know, make them think before they do it again, you know? I want to,
yeah.
I am more of a, you know, my calling is hardcore. I've been working at this since I was four, and I am very evolved and very well-rounded, and I'm a very patient person, and I appreciate what you've had to go through to maybe hopefully stop what's about or has already started and put it at a halt. You know, not only just for your radio station, but everyone in the world. You know, if we could all just respect one another and let everybody be voiced to their own opinion, freedom of speech, as well as who they are. Instead, I see all these people wannabe, and you know what I mean? They want to...
Oh, yeah. Known,
and it's just aggravating. They take your identity or they decide that your words... So my archives in a couple of places have been messed with and my words changed. So that's just like the film. Or if you think about when you said authentic, you know, keep them original, I thought of like a mind tap or a brain, you know. People tend to want to take whatever a person has said or spoken or done and twist it and manipulate it around. You pretty much just smoothed it out.
Yeah, well, that's their modus operandi, because I had said something once about something Quentin Tarantino did, and the guy goes, oh, so you're saying Quentin Tarantino's this? And I said, no. I said the tone of the trailer for his movie is racist. I didn't say he was a racist. I said the tone of the trailer is racist. I said, is that what we're playing to? See, that's another thing. You just said people who take things from here and take things from there. Well, there's a director that's a prime example of that, because as far as I'm concerned, and a lot of other people are concerned, the man hasn't had an original idea in his head. He was just lucky. He was a video store clerk. Yeah, he saw a lot of movies, but, you know, so did I. But I don't go out and make a movie basically lifting part of this and part of this and part of that. And they all go, well, it's a homage. I said, well, it isn't a homage. He's making a living out of these homages. And sometimes they're not that good. But, you know, there's a bunch of us that, you know, really want to see it the way it was supposed to be seen. You know, people go, well, I'm going to restore this and put all this stuff back in it. And I'm like, well, did you ever think that it was taken out for a reason because it just didn't go? And actually, somebody did that with a movie, and my friends up the street and I, we sat there and watched it, and I turn around and I go, you know, I never have to see this again. It's too squeaky clean, and they put in the 10 minutes that was taken out, which was a worthless romantic subplot that had no place in an action film. So, you know, everybody tries to tamper with things, and they don't realize that there's a reason for everything, you know?
But then when it's someone's property, you know, someone's personal property, then that's where it gets a big F. You know, to me, there is a calling out there for everybody. And everybody, if they would just be their individual self and stand firm in what they believe in and put people in their place when it's time, or, you know, just like you did in your situation 2 weeks ago, I want to also say, I want to ask you, what started you to... because your archives, they tend to flow different ways. I went all the way up to the first one last night. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, it's a lot different, even the tones and pitches in your voice from your first archive down. But what would you say if you could give any kind of a heads-up message to what you feel that the radio industry should be here for today? I mean, what do you feel?
Get the truth out whenever possible, because that's sadly lacking in every industry now. Everything seems to be like candy coated and, you know, for lack of better words, government controlled. I mean, you know, we're both from the same era, and we both sat there and watched the news during the Vietnam War, and part of what stopped the Vietnam War was all the body bags and the carnage coming home. Well, we don't have that on the news anymore. All we have is fluff and, okay, there was a massacre in Colorado, and there was another massacre at some temple over the weekend, but we don't get any news from what's going on overseas. Our boys are getting killed and, you know, blowing up and stuff like that. We don't get that, but, you know, back in our day, we did, and that made us socially conscious and aware of what was going on, and the outcry was to stop it and stop it. Boys came home. This
That's
is
right.
Like a faceless war that, you know, you don't hear anything until you see some poor bastard come home all messed up, you know?
You know, you remember these armbands that the people submitted in action in the 70s?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had one of those. Yeah, and I tell you, if people would go back to the movement we were in that's still going on with us today, it would be a different world, because all we want is love, peace, and harmony. But, you know, stand firm in who and what we believe in, you know, it just it blows my mind, actually. to think that.
Yeah, well.
Because I'm 56, and you're right there with me. And plus, you grew up in a very different culture than I did. I grew up in the southern, Charlotte, North Carolina is where I'm at, and I've lived in a 5-mile radius all my life. We're a little bit slower laid back, but, you know, hey, that's just the way the cultures go. And you're up there in New York area at the 42nd Street. You want to give a little bit about what 42nd Street living there is about? How did that evolve? What did that feel like being on 42nd Street?
Well, the thing was, going back to the whole thing, I was 17 in 1970, and basically I was going to Vietnam. So I had no real reason to apply myself to anything because I was classified 1A, which was the draft board, which meant you were going. Something people seem to forget today because you don't have that hanging over your head, but it's a horrible, horrible thing to be hanging over your head wondering whether, all right, you get a letter in the mail, guess what, come down, you're property of the U.S. government, you're going to Vietnam. So as a high schooler, of course, I was into drinking and things like that, and, you know, you wind up smoking pot because you were a hippie, so I was always going over to the village in New York. That was the happening place. But one time I just made the left turn on 8th Avenue instead of the right. I went up on the corner of 42nd and 8th. And I looked down and I saw all these great marquees, all these great double and triple features playing and things like that. So I basically got lost over there. I just spent my weekends over there, and I had really a crappy home life growing up. So I basically spent, you know, my nights growing up in you know, the rundown movie theaters in Jersey. So then I became, you know, just became an arcane book of knowledge for these movie theaters. And then, you know, I wasn't a good boy. I got involved in the drinking and the screwing around and the smoking weed and all the other crazy crap that went with the 70s. I make no bones about it, you know. I did a lot of crazy stuff. And, you know, the sad part is of the, you know, say 30 guys I might have hung out with during the era, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one that's still alive. And I think it was because I always had the common sense to, like, go home when things got out of hand.
There you go. There you go.
And as far as what 42nd Street was, it was a neon jungle of forbidden delights. You know, you could basically get anything you wanted if you knew the right people on 42nd Street. You know, you had the movie theaters, and then interspersed between the movie theaters with the, you know, the little porn joints and things like that, and the liquor stores and the bars. So it was like, I wrote an article for it, you know, Newberry Video, the Blue Book, when I first started being 42nd Street, Pete. I call it the Devil's Playground because that's exactly what it was.
Well, did you ever go to the war?
No, never. Yeah, that's the strange part. When they switched the whole thing over, when they did numbers on your birth date, I was sitting in a bar sweating it out. My number came up in the 300s, and I'm like, thank God I ain't going. But
oh, my goodness.
I never stopped going back to 42nd Street. Just became a part of my life for, I'd say, for the, you know, the bulk of the 70s. And then when we got into the early 80s, my attention had switched because I was buying and selling merchandise over there. So I was in another whole section of New York, you know, the wholesale district on Broadway and, you know, the 20s and things. So every once in a while I venture back. But, you know, as you know, everybody knows how bad the 80s got with, you know, the AIDS and crack epidemic, things like that. So as dangerous as it was in the 70s, it was a lot worse, you know, toward the late 80s when they started boarding everything up and the realtors started, you know, gobbling up the property and stuff. So,
what,
you know, they wanted to shut down the whole thing for years and years. And, you know, what finally did it was the real estate values finally got up.
And that's a... See, I've lived with this guy from New Jersey for a long time, and he taught me a lot too. I'm telling you, you got the up in the north or east area, y'all got some strong, hard. I'm just gonna say hard balls. You know, you just don't put up with the crap, and these people that did what they did, I just admire it. That the way that you handled it, I don't care about words that were dirty, as you want to call it, in the world today. It was the point, and your point was well taken. And there's so many people out there that are being controlled through hacking, through controlling their world and life, even into their homeland, into their home, and trying to take and make money off of them, which is bullshit because of the fact that they're authentic or whatever. You know, it goes to show you that You know, we're all the same in certain ways, but we're all uniquely packaged. You know, and it takes people to learn from other people sometimes and open their ears and eyes that there is a strong message tonight to be put out there. Because I'm learning, I don't know anything about an internet computer, but I can get on Facebook and I can do certain little things and my own pictures and stuff like that. But Pete, you know, people don't realize the anxiety and the anticipation of being in a draft. Do you feel that we're going to have a draft this time around?
Doesn't look like it, but you know, it'd be a horrible thing. If, you know, then again, you know, something that might straighten certain people out. You know,
exactly.
You know, there's a lot of people who walk around, you know, with the sense of entitlement that they really shouldn't have, and that's another thing that's wrong with my industry too. Because you got a lot of these people that are, you know, younger people in their 20s and early 30s that think I'm entitled to do this, and then you got other people saying, well, I'm an expert on this, and I say, oh, you're an expert on grindhouses. Were you ever in one? Well, no, but I know all about them. I go, well, enlighten me. Tell me about them. And then they start stuttering, and I says, you know something? Unless you have left some puddle of bodily fluid on the floor of a grindhouse, no matter what it is, if you didn't, we have nothing to talk about, because I certainly did. So there.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing. And if you remember part of that broadcast last Saturday night, I gave people an opportunity twice. I yelled out a call-in number to call in, and nobody did, except Superfan Rob always calls in. He's one of the boys, and another guy who had a radio show. So we gave him the opportunity. You want to go mano-a-mano verbally with me? Sure, go bring it on. I was all ready for it. I was waiting. I'm thinking somebody's going to do it. Nobody picked it up because it's safe to hide behind the screen and the keyboard.
Yeah. You notice today how, compared to the 70s, today people tend to hide and shadow themselves, like you said, shadow life. The shadows of people, you know, and if you say anything to them today, they immediately attack you. You notice? Did you notice that in the world? And I don't know. I want to say that there's the message that I want to say for this evening is: people are individuals, and people have their own walk in life, talk in life, and no one knows what's inside them. No one knows their situations behind until they, you know, if they step in it, they need to look at it. Does that make sense? Because a lot of people get out there and they try to become another person, and if they don't, they get pissy of jealousy or greed or whatever. You know, I don't make any money off of anything I do. I'm on disability, number one. Number two, I feel that it's my calling to get out a message in the world. And the other reason is because, hey, I'm not a materialistic person. I just am not. I'm more of a spiritual person looking for myself, my way, and what I can do in the world to help it be different and better. And with you coming on tonight, you're helping a lot of people know that that more than one person this is happening to. But now, the most important thing I want to say is that you're not going to put up with it. And BBS Radio services 190 countries, as well as millions of listeners at one given time. And I'm telling you to just give out your website, you know, for the station again, for the active listening and archive audience. That way they can go and listen to it.
Okay, I'm on jackalope105fm.com every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Sometimes it's taped, sometimes it's live. Sometimes we never know what we're going to do. I'm trying to line up something this week. I want to pay tribute to the late actors R.G. Armstrong and Ernest Borgnine. I'm trying to line up something with that, but if that doesn't work, who knows? So, you know, we try to do the right thing. If there's a message in any of this stuff, it's really don't take any crap. Do what you want to do. Do what you like to do. And don't say something about or to somebody else unless you can back it up. That's the whole point, because everybody was going to do, you know, all this stuff, and like I said, if somebody called in and called me, whatever they wanted to call me a scumbag, call me an a-hole, call me whatever you want to call me, I'll respect you for actually having the guts to call me up. But as far as this hide behind the screen name, and it's sort of like poking a bee's nest with a stick, sooner or later, you're going to get stung. And that's why I said, the guy who hacked me, I'm going to find out who it is, because he will slip up because the man, whoever did it, man, woman, vegetable, animal, has to have an ego, and his ego will not let him be silent. So I shook all the trees I could shake, and I got nothing out of it. But I know, you know, somebody's out there thinking, oh, maybe we can do it again. Well, I'd invite you to try. I really invite you to try.
You know what? So. I love, to me, the ego was born when the baby or child learns the word no. It's important for people to check their egos at the door, you know, when they're, when they're getting ready to go. Even tempt to think that they can be somebody else or they take somebody else's thing. You know, what I do, I sit back and let it just build like pieces of shit being thrown. I let it build and build and build until I've got this massive crap ball that I can just throw back. You know what I mean? It's just, I have...
It doesn't pay to keep, you know, things in. That's what it's just going to burn a hole in your inside and stuff like that. I think I may have lost a friend today over this whole deal because I got this whole thing. You know, you're just the ball of anger and you thrive on this. I go, I'm playing a character sometimes, and my audience is used to me behaving in a certain way. So if I come out and throw the bio, they're used to it. I don't know how many people tuned in on a Saturday night, but I've been averaging like 4,000, which isn't bad for, you know, the time slot it's in. But, you know, the thing's downloaded, you know, a million times. You know, we've had some great stuff go on there. We had a midget call in one time and go after us. It was insane. We never know. So,
don't ever know.
You know, it's just, you know, you're trying to educate people on certain things and you're trying to entertain them at the same time, which is like sometimes a hard thing to juggle. But you know, we get things going. And you know, I mean, I had one time I went on there. A friend of mine just died through a medical mishap, and I basically poured my guts out for an hour about how horrible this whole thing was and how many people I've lost due to medical screw-ups, and that's why I don't have health insurance, because honestly, I'd rather just drop dead in the house than have to deal with doctors, you know?
That was Frank?
Yeah.
Yeah, I met you. Was with your post about him. Your brother.
He wasn't my real brother. I met Frank back in the 70s, when I was working for a sweater warehouse in New York, he was my boss, and we became very close friends, and I helped him out when he came back out, because he moved to Arizona to try to make it out there, and he had second thoughts, he came back, I helped him out there, but then, he moved out there, and unfortunately, he was one of these Korean-era war vets who smoked Pall Malls and drank a lot, and he got mouth cancer, and... you know, he was about 70, I don't know, 70-something when he died. But, they just kept him alive till they could milk him out of all the insurance money, all the coverage he had. Then it was it. They sent him home to die.
I really lost my
mind on that whole thing, and I just poured it out. And, you know, right about now, I don't have any health and medical coverage. I don't care. I go for chiropractic once every 2 weeks, and I go for acupuncture every 3 weeks, so.
Well, that's pretty good thing. It's acupuncture. Tell us a little bit about acupuncture. There's so many people wanting to know. Does it really work?
Yeah, I had my doubts. And if you're afraid of needles, don't even be afraid of needles. You don't feel a thing. I mean, I had something. I got chronic arthritis all over the place, especially my left hip. And my chiropractor was out of town, and I had gone in there for my regular treatment. And I said, my hip is killing me. And he goes, well, if you want to slide your pants down, I can help you with that. And I know they were big needles, and I know he put them in, and I know he twisted them. I felt a twinge, but I walked out of there pain-free. I was amazed, because usually I'm used to getting beat up by a chiropractor.
Did he tell you?
So.
What exactly does the needle, I mean, is it like pressure points or nerve endings or? The beard, that's
whatever it does, it opens what they call chakras or something. I mean, I practice Reiki. I'm rusty at it because I don't do it all the time, because, you know, unfortunately life takes over, but there's certain, you know, things, vessels that open and things like that. It's basically a wellness thing, because I've had problems here and there, and I felt okay since I've been doing it, you know. I've been more active, and I got a dog, which makes me run around and stuff, so I think the key with the, you know, the whole arthritis thing is, as long as you keep moving, you break it up, you know. Unfortunately, a lot of us are stuck in front of the computers trying to do what I do, sell stuff on eBay, so, you know, you don't get the exercise you should, but,
well,
you know.
Give your eBay name out. What you selling?
Oh, DVDs.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing wonderful. I'm just doing it to keep afloat till I'm waiting for certain things to happen. I'm owed money. I'm just waiting for it to come in. It's been like a nightmare, but you know, who the hell knows? Something will straighten out. But if they don't, I've been wheeling and dealing all my life, so I can handle it. At this stage of the game, I'll be 60 next month. I have no hopes of ever returning to the active workforce, not the way it's been run today. Because they don't appreciate. Another thing too is, this society does not appreciate the knowledge that you have or I have. They'd rather hire 20-year-olds that don't have any brains and mold them into the shape that they want them to, and then when they get wised up, they leave and the next batch comes in. So, what am I going to do? Be a greeter at Walmart?
You know what my dad always said? He's passed now, but he said, he would always say, I've got more wisdom than you, or you just don't listen, or, you know, stuff like that. And I have learned to actively freaking listen now instead of taking it for face value or odds. I had the same issue with my left hip, and I've already had one right hip replaced, and that's why a lot of people out there, the past week have been talking about acupuncture, so that's a good thing for me to look into. I was not afraid of needles, but I don't like doctors because they, like you said, what they do with your friend Frank, you know, they just keep you coming, then they pass you on to somebody else or some other specialist or blah blah blah, you know, to try to get the link going to, hey, look what I got, this won't do it. You know what I mean? I went to I had thyroid cancer, and through my shamanic work that I am, you know, I just know what I'm doing. I went down inside and sucked it out with a little needle. It took me a while. I unraveled it, and I did not have to have one. I have no cancer, and I did not have to have one treatment, you know. And what's sad is just, I'm going to give that as an example, that people tend to take what I have walked and talked and been. Though I don't have books out, though I have it all handwritten, it's for my kids. When I go, they've got something major to be able to publish, as well as my artwork. So, you know, I would love to be able to walk well and be able to move well. Mine comes from a brutal beating and rape. The guy's serving 32 years in prison, jumped through my car window at stoplight, you know, and then I got stress pneumonia. And then from there, the steroids, which took my hips, and, you know, from there it goes on. But, I learned from it, and I am where I am today. And I maybe was active back in the day, but hey, I'm active fiercely today. And getting a message out there in any way, shape, or form of any person, place, or thing that has a good message to put out there. And to me, you have taught me, and I'm going to say it again, because we don't realize we're teaching, but you give me the feeling to want to be more assertive, more standing out there and putting my foot down and deciding what I will and will not put up with. And the whole thing, bottom line, is respect and not questioning others' integrity and not questioning and doing that patronizing, you know, sappy stuff that I am. I'll admit I am guilty of that, because I am very, very much giving, and I very rarely know even how to receive. And, you know, we all, the jackalope, I just want to say, I'm going to pull up this archive because I'm going to give the exact address to this last week's show. And it is www.nightwatchuniverse.com. So that's www.nightwatchuniverse.com/Pete/42P-08-04-12MP3. And that, my friends, active listening audience, archived audience, you're going to get how it feels to be raw, upfront, and in the open. Because I don't come across people like you very often, Pete. And it's really, you know, it's like, you stood up before, like you said, leaving it inside before you let it boil to something else. Because if we don't keep our vessels clean, keep ourselves clean, then it's going to turn into something else that somebody else said, when it's all along been something, you know, from the beginning, you know. I say, you know, because, God almighty, this is just mind-blowing that there's not many people out there today that will stand firm and that will stand their ground. Hey, what if a person had their house watched, their body watched, their their computers watch everything they do, watch, and then people tend to try to decide what they're going to take and not take out of it. You know, that's the way it feels sometimes in my world, even though it's not. But
yeah,
we take a chance being broadcasters. We take a chance with our lessons and teaching. And the wisdom comes from age. And you're right, the young kids, they maybe know the technical stuff. They maybe know the book smart stuff. But we have learned it from walking it and living it and seeing what adheres and what doesn't adhere and keeping our side of the street clean. That's my 42nd Street. I'd like to go see that sometime. Is it still like that?
Well, I mean,
it's 42nd Street.
No, it's all cleaned up and shiny. It's all cleaned up and shiny. It's horrible now. I went over there. I had to go back. Had to go back to see a friend of mine who since passed away, and I just looked down the block and I go, I can't believe that you shine this thing up. It just proves that you can polish up a turd, you know.
Yeah, that is so true. The feeling in the cover, it's like something that's hidden behind a wall, and you put a new piece of plaster on it, and then you paint it, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think the whole thing about what you said about these people with, you know, their iPods and their this and their that. I think George Carlin said it best. What are you going to do when the power goes out? Because everything runs by electricity. What will people do?
Night,
they won't be able to survive.
Yeah, last night when I was listening to your archive, you reminded me of George Carlin. You know, his soul blunt.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
The killing part was the guy was spot on with everything he said. You know, it's unfortunate he's not with us anymore, but he was pretty much spot on with everything he said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a shame. A lot of the guys that, you know, like Frank Zappa, George, and a lot of other people, you know, were great thinkers and are no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
They don't realize what music really is if they don't listen to those 70s and 60s, you know, early late 60s, early 70s. Going into the 70s, because that's the real raw blunt. You know, our era, I threw away I burned my bra and threw a panty raid underwear in it. People today go, get out of the room. Yeah, I'm like, you're not me. You can't tell me what to wear. And it's not any reason but, hey, I'm a diehard, hardcore, born hippie, and it's really tough sometimes. Like you said earlier, it's a script. You know, you can act it out and feel it out and be it, but then what's real inside is what you've learned from it. You know,
there's another thing, too. If you didn't do what you did, and if I didn't do what I did, and if a lot of other people didn't do what we did, these people today wouldn't have what they have, because we're the ones that took the beating on that whole deal, because we turned around and said, you know something, this ain't working anymore. We got to do something else. And, yeah, we took a lot of crap for it, but, you know, we did turn it around. And I would say the best time of my life was, you know, the 70s and early 80s. Then all of a sudden Reagan got in and basically just ass-raped the whole country. Then it was over.
Damn. I'm going to say one more thing, and then we have to hang up and get off the air. But if you could take back anything, bring it up forward to this day and time from your past, what would you bring? Like authenticness or, you know, 42nd Street, you know, what would you bring with you like a time capsule? What would you bring today from the past?
From the past? Free thinking.
Free thinking. I love
creativity.
It.
Creativity. Free thinking and creativity without being a copycat.
Exactly. Yay. And live it and know it and feel it and breathe it and smell it.
Yeah. Don't try to be creative because you want to make money off it, because you never will. Do something for the love of it. That's the whole key. And if it hits, you won. If it doesn't hit, you at least did it. You made your effort.
And it felt good to the person instead of being... Here's the thing that irks me more than anything, Pete. If people listen to other people's stuff or read a book, and then they turn around and they don't give credit where credit's due, and they don't give credit to, you know, they think it, and all they're doing is lying to themselves and hiding in shadows and always wondering if their number's going to get called like a draft.
Yeah.
So with that, Pete, I want to say, with my world, what I do is the wisdom wheel, which is speak the truth, know the truth, hear the truth, be the truth, live the truth, talk the truth, walk the truth, and that's earth wisdom. It's all about earth wisdom, you know, walking it, feeling it, absorbing it, and being it. Pete, you've been a great, great opening to my world, and I know to many after listening tonight and as well as the archives, I want to say thank you so much, and I'm sorry that we got started on the way it did. But, hey, just like with you getting that message out there.
Hey, it worked out, the battery didn't die.
Yeah. Hey, that's right, you know. They're like the little bunny. Keeps on ticking, trucking. The little lever ready.
Yep.
Anyway, Pete, I'll talk to you later, and keep in touch. And this is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, also known as, because we're all a bright light. We're just searching for that path, and we're going to find it if we connect to one another the way that we need to. And we're off the air. Good night, Pete.